For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to episode 404 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on the science behind Dungeons & Dragons and fantasy fiction. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
I have very creaky headphones.
Good. That's not off topic at all.
No, I'm sorry. What are we talking about? Okay, I'm here.
It's behind the scenes today while Phil wrestles with a relatively simple device known as headphones.
I used to just sit there and not make noise. Anyways.
First, I want to thank the Girls Who Don't D&D.
Yay.
They're a Dungeons & Dragons podcast, which you can find by visiting girlswhodon'tdnd.com.
They're better than us.
Don't put an apostrophe in the don't. And don't feel so sad. And Dungeons & Dragons is abbreviated D, letter N, D.
Yes.
All right. So, they have questions for us that they have brought in.
And
I am going to play question number 4 for you.
If one bothers to read one's character sheet, you might find that you have a resistance to certain type of damage, i.e. psychic, heat, cold. What different types of attack and resistance occur amongst actual living things?
That's the question.
Wow, she seems like she had a cold. Is she okay?
I'm going to cut this out. Do they go to the bother of making the questions for us? She sounds awful. Phil distracted me. So I never did mention that the one who voiced question number 4 was Stacy. I don't know what Phil was talking about. What I heard was a stunningly beautiful, sophisticated, and mysterious woman whose hair is blowing in the wind somehow. That's what I heard. Attack and damage in Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah.
There are 13 types of damage.
Really?
But we're not going to do all of them. Because, well, that would be too long an episode.
It's not a top 10, it's and a top also, 13.
Yeah, I really didn't look all that hard for radiant damage.
What
is the kind of damage your character takes if you get too close to a god.
Oh, okay. I thought you just...
I didn't find anything. Nothing peer-reviewed.
Thought
anyway.
You were hugging a furnace or something.
But let's cover a few of these. There are slashing, piercing, and bludgeoning.
Okay.
Yes, they happen. In fact, so much is not even interesting. Let's move on.
Okay.
Poison and acid damage. I'm actually going to just stick these together because it happens all the time, especially with bugs.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait. In real life.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
This is a science show, not a D&D podcast.
I know.
So, yeah, we do try to talk about real life from time to time.
Yeah, blurring lines.
The first time we did something on magic and the battery exploded.
That's right.
Let's talk about Vigor Runes, just as an example.
Is that a D&D
also
character?
Called land lobsters.
Oh, these are okay. These
it's some kind of an arachnid. I wish I could see a picture because they keep talking about its whip.
Really?
Yeah, it makes it sound maybe kind of scorpion tail-ish.
Ooh, okay.
No venom, though. It shoots acid.
Really?
For a distance.
I mean, yes. Yes!
And apparently it smells like vinegar.
Gross.
But it is like 10, 20 times stronger than vinegar. It's not going to hurt you if it gets on your skin, unless you have unusually sensitive skin.
Oh, okay.
But you wouldn't want to get this stuff in your eyes.
Oh, yeah. That would okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose they probably go for the eyes, right?
Like, well, yeah. So do the spitting cobra.
Yeah.
The spitting cobra kept getting... included on acid spitting critter lists. It's not really spitting acid. It's spitting a neurotoxin.
Oh, God.
But it does aim for your eyes, and it does screw up your eyes quite badly if it can get you.
Yeah, neurotoxins are... That doesn't sound good.
No, it's... No. Generally not. We got the redwood ant.
Oh?
this is my personal favorite. A lot of ants will sting you with formic acid.
Mm-hmm.
These guys have a little pouch. That can be as much as 1/4 of their total body weight.
Holy crap.
Full of acid.
Wow.
And when the colony gets upset, they all squirt it out at once. You can actually see this little mist.
Holy crap. That sounds fun. Well, where do they live and where do don't I go?
Well, considering that they are called the Redwood Ant, I am guessing they are on the west coast of California.
Yeah, okay.
With the red ones. I'd buy there that, is yes. a bird, though. Speaking of resistance to various things, there is a bird that goes there. It's not actually even trying to eat or harm the ants. It just agitates them and then flies around inside the little mist of acid.
What is okay?
In order to clean off fleas and ticks and mites.
All right, it's not as bad as I thought. I thought these ants are amazing, man.
Not that kind of acid.
Okay.
Another example of resistance, the Rio Tinto River.
Ooh, okay.
In southern Spain.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Painted River. It is apparently right. bright red.
Oh.
It's sitting in the middle of very mineral-rich hills.
Mm-hmm.
And these minerals get exposed, and then the water flows through them, and these are like sulfur, iron sulfides, and gold sulfides, and so forth. And the net result of all of this is all sorts of nasty acid and heavy metals in the river.
Oh.
There's also been mining by humans off and on for the last 5,000 years.
Yeah. This is not a new trick, right?
So it may have contributed to this acidic and poisonous river. But it is full of various kinds of bacteria. Actually, there's a small number of kinds of bacteria. There's a whole bunch of different eukaryotes.
Yes.
Single-celled eukaryotes. This is kind of funny. Yeast and algae and filamentous fungus.
Well, that's neat. They don't care.
No, yeah, this is a great place. The one that got me, though, is there's even some multicellular plants.
Now, that is interesting.
Sounds like it's mostly just grasses growing on the banks that have adapted to this otherwise toxic environment.
So we wouldn't want to go swimming there. Is this
pH of 2. It would not dissolve you, but it would, especially if you swam it, eventually irritate your skin, eat off your trunks.
So this is a great place for a first date.
Oh, you do not want it anywhere near any of your mucous membranes.
Oh, no.
Not your mouth, nose, eyes, ears, or down that way.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that.
Yeah, terrible idea. I'm full of them.
Fire.
okay.
The closest guy to fire damage I could find was heat. Uh-huh. And this one you originally told me about, the Japanese honeybee.
Okay, yeah.
When a hornet gets in their nest, they mob it.
Mm-hmm.
They form what is technically known as a bee ball.
That's an amazing... Wow. Can you explain that in layman's terms?
Yeah, it's a ball of bee.
Oh, okay, thank God.
And then they beat their little wings and get to... They're pretty specific about the temperature. 46 degrees Celsius.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. The documentary where I first ran into them, they're not that far away from when they also... kick it.
The article I read backs you up entirely. Yeah, it's hot enough to cook the hornet.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of resistance again, they're 2 or 3 degrees below where it would have killed them.
Yeah, see? Yeah. How do they know?
All right, here's one. How about psychic damage?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, we talked about that on Monday. Our sponsors include Inside Voices, Vocal Training, and Tool Out!
I like that last one.
Any excuse to yell?
I was going to ask, because I wanted to ask.
You should have heard this. We weren't rolling at the time. I wish we had it.
I lost track of what we have already covered in this wonderful
this
excursion.
Thing? Oh,
yes.
Me too.
Oh, good. I'm so glad I asked.
We've done charm spells and mind control.
Ah, yes. Yes.
We've done healing magic.
Okay.
And what was the last one we did? Dark vision.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So now we want to talk about types of attack, damage, and resistance that occur amongst actual living things. And it's Dungeons and Dragons. One of the kinds of damage you can take is psychic damage.
Oh, yes.
So as a lark this morning, I thought I'd poke around and see if I could find anything. I wasn't really expecting to find, but, you know, if you come with me and we stretch a few points.
Yeah, right.
Actually, the first thing I thought of was phobias.
Oh, yeah.
Where humans in particular could be deathly afraid of an entirely harmless insect.
Honest to
just
God.
Just because they're scared of bugs.
Reaction, you know, they're sweating, they're, yeah, yeah. Some people have it bad.
So, like, does that happen in nature at all? Ever? Right?
Are bugs afraid of bugs?
Are bugs afraid of bugs?
They look in the mirror and they're like, oh, no! What is that thing?
various animals have pre-programmed reactions.
Oh.
Very deep within their...
psyche?
Psyche? Good word. I was going to go with like a neurological system or something.
Oh.
But I like psyche better. Like cats, for example.
Yes.
You can certainly get them to attack just with a piece of string or a laser pointer.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, try and get one of those cat-safe laser pointers, and even then, don't point it in their eye on purpose.
Right? Oh, that'd be mean. They seem to have things against tinfoil and cucumbers.
Cucumbers, yes. Actually, that's the one I checked. I cannot find anybody who's done any serious research on this, but it does seem to happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of theories. They're all internet theories.
All right.
My favorite is that it reminds them of a snake.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And somewhere in their little brain stem, they go, eek! Somebody else countered, well, cats have been known to hunt snakes. Yeah, but this is, you usually put the cucumber behind the cat while they're not paying attention.
Right? Yeah, so they turn around.
And they just see snake behind them.
Right? Otherwise, awfully they're stalking close. The thing. They are in control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can hack a cat's brain.
Yes.
Okay, let's keep that in mind. So if we can hack some critters...
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can call that psychic damage.
Okay, yeah.
Like the firefly.
What?
Well, really?
There's that's a little bit of a basic, more basic of a critter than I thought.
Well, I got to start somewhere.
Okay.
They are a kind of beetle,
mm-hmm.
and they flash their little butts, the males do, in complicated patterns in order to attract females.
Look over here.
Who flash back once.
What?
After a certain time delay, right? They're not being as fancy.
It's the long string of text that she's like, right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
There is one particular species of firefly that fakes the signal to males of a different species.
Weird.
To lure them in and eat them.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
It's wow.
Hacked the mating signals.
Wow. that's mean.
All right. Then there is something. This happened. I saw this happen. An example of this.
Oh.
It's the bird in the room story.
Okay.
It was choir mm-hmm. in high school.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. it was a warm day, so the big heavy metal security doors were wide open.
Right, right.
And so a bird came in.
Yeah, yeah.
This was most everybody had already left. And then everyone but me left because they had some complicated plan of how they're going to catch this bird and get this out of here.
Okay.
So I walk over to the window just to see it, right?
Yeah.
I could still see some at the time. Mm. And I watch this thing desperately trying to fly out of the window. I mean, he's right up against it, his wings going like crazy.
Right. Full panic. I can see it. I can see the outside.
So then I sort of swooped up and grabbed it with my hands.
Wow.
I even felt it.
What?
Well,
I mean, I've never caught a bird. I'm just saying.
It would flap for a while, and then it would stop, and then it would flap a little more. And so I waited for it to stop and grabbed it.
Uh-huh.
I actually felt its little wings try to shrug out of my hands.
Right.
And I'm trying to be careful here to hold it enough so it's not going anywhere, but also I don't kill it.
Right, right.
Which makes me feel really bad about the next part.
Oh, no.
The other people wander back. They see I've got the bird. I take it out of the door,
uh-huh.
and then I toss it into the air.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking it's going to fly away.
That's what they should do, yes.
It flew all right. Just like a rock.
No!
Landed on the pavement. I just have to add this in here, recording this a little later, but I wanted to say that the bird was fine. It did lay there for several minutes, but eventually it got up and flew away. So, no animals were harmed during the making of this podcast. It was in a state they call tonic immobility.
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh.
Mostly associated with a fear reaction
mm-hmm.
when various animals just sort of freeze.
That okay, yeah.
Now, the theory here is that they're doing this to hack cats or predators in general. If
right.
they stop moving and lie there like they're dead, then the cat, or I just always picture a cat,
of course.
Might pause and go, wait a minute. And in that wait-a-minute moment, bird flies away.
Well, I broke it. What the... I mean... struggle.
Except it happens with a lot of critters where that particular explanation doesn't make sense. Take sharks, for example.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not every single species of shark and not every individual of a particular species, but many of them, you can turn them upside down,
mm-hmm.
and they just sort of stop moving for the next 15 minutes.
You're like, whoa, man. Whoa. It totally changed my perspective. Whoa, man.
Why does this happen? The only explanation that made sense to me is it's a social thing. They turn upside down when it's going to mate.
Oh.
Kind of turn off the aggression.
I get it, right?
And most of its reactions, yeah.
So you turn them upside down, and they're like, well, I'm just going to see what happens here. Hey.
Okay. I never thought I'd swing this way.
Right? I might be able to make this work.
But, I mean, talk about a Achilles heel. An orca once turned over a great white, kept it down there in that state until it, well, suffocated.
Yeah, yeah.
They've also been known to do that to stingrays, so apparently do the same thing when flipped upside down.
Oh, no. Oh.
So, I mean, that doesn't seem like it's protecting you from predators.
Well, orcas are unusually smart, and they're a bunch of bastards.
That's true. True say. Enough. But another one, also a fish, trout. It's called tickling trout.
Oh.
Also a real thing. And again, I'm not getting any good explanation. You, when the fish goes under the bank, you reach your hands down and tickle its belly. rub on its belly. And if you can do it right.
It's the same thing. Well, let's just see what happens.
They go entirely slack. Ask if it was good for you, and then you can just pick them up.
Lights up a cigarette. Never thought I'd see that before.
So again, I mean, that doesn't seem like it's saving him from any predators in any way.
Right, right.
All right, the last one, this one, I don't know if this is even real, all right? But a lot of websites say it is.
Okay.
And it was even studied, unlike the cat and the cucumber.
Oh, yeah?
Hypnotizing chickens.
Okay. This was studied? What grad student?
Apparently, I mean, they study it as the tonic immobility thing. Apparently, you can take a chicken's head and plop it on the ground, hold it still, and then you draw a line with your finger or a stick or a piece of chalk from their beak outwards.
Okay.
And then when you let go of them, they just continue staring at the line for anywhere from 15 seconds to 20 minutes or so.
This is not the same as the shark in the water. If this is real, it's just weird.
They're just not very discerning art fans. It's a look. It's a line.
It's amazing. He's really boiled it down to the fundamentals. Yeah.
Also, if we're hypnotizing the chicken, you know, you hypnotize people and make them cluck like a chicken.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to make the chicken do? Worry about its mortgage?
I'm a people.
Go yakety yakety yakety. All right, we're continuing on our list of various kinds of damage.
Okay.
And any real-world examples? How about necrotic damage? This is the kind of stuff that necromancers and zombies and it's the magic of death.
Okay.
Causes necrotic damage.
Mm-hmm.
How about the brown recluse?
Oh, right.
The closest I could get to it. I could also talk about gangrene and various other rotty things.
Yeah.
But the brown recluse venom is a necrotic venom.
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually got the word in there. That counts.
It's right. Yeah, yeah. Right there, guys.
It poisons these cells and causes them to produce death-like products.
Wait, okay.
And then they burst open.
Gross.
And then your immune system goes in there going, something's wrong, and starts spraying everything with kill it before it kills us chemicals.
Okay.
And then all of that spreads and hurts some more cells. You can get to the sort of feedback thing where your flesh starts to rot.
Yeah, gross.
Yes, it's not good. And if something like that is happening, you really need to go to the doctor.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter what caused it.
Right.
How about lightning damage?
I
mean, really, this is not hard. How about the electric eel?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Or the torpedo ray.
I don't know that one. Does it look like a torpedo?
No, actually, the word torpedo comes from the torpedo ray.
Oh.
It was originally named after being torpid, as in slow and not moving around much.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Words change meaning over time. How about thunder damage?
Oh, what's the difference? Right? We just went from lightning to thunder.
Well, okay. I had to think about this for a while, and I finally came on, how about a big boom? How about sonic weapons?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Like the tiger moth.
Oh, I was thinking whales, but okay.
The tiger moth, when being chased by a bat, will yell at it to jam its sonar.
Stop it! I don't like you.
Effectively blinding the bat on the level of sound in order to get away.
That's neat. Okay, cool.
Sperm whales.
Yes.
Now, okay, the jury is out on whether or not they use their sound as a weapon.
Really?
Yeah, I saw the study that cast doubt on this idea, and I have several issues with it, but let's not go there. Okay. They do get up to 230 decibels on the order of a jet taking off.
Oof.
And it's loud enough to have injured and even killed human divers before.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've heard this.
So, regardless of whether or not they use it on the regular,
they can.
Also, killer whales and humpbacks both yell at fish.
Boom!
I remember I happened to catch two documentaries in a row. One talked about the humpback whales doing this, mm-hmm. and one talked about the orcas doing this.
Mm.
And I'm listening to the yell, the recording of the yell, and I'm like, that sounds exactly the same.
As between the two of them?
Yes.
Huh.
Because the frequencies they are using irritate the swim bladders of the fish.
So they got to go pee? The swim bladder. I'm sorry. I'm paying attention.
Yeah. So it doesn't just scare them. It actually hurts.
Oh.
And they chase them along until they bump into a bubble net from their pals, and then they eat them all at once.
Yum, yum, yum.
Killer whales have also been used a slap of their tail
okay.
to make a loud noise and stun fish.
I like all of that. I hear you can fish with grenades. I saw that in the movie once.
No, you can't. There is nowhere that's legal.
Okay.
Now, my favorite thunder damage, the pistol shrimp.
Oh.
Less than an inch long, one oversized claw it uses to make a very loud snap sound.
Oh.
It's loud enough to turn some of the water into steam briefly.
Really?
Yes. And as the steam goes shooting back in, it actually glows and is for just a moment hotter than the surface of the sun.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So when they go snap.
Well, they mean it, right? I mean, holy crap.
And they use that to hunt their prey. So many kinds of damage.
Mm-hmm.
Then dragons.
Okay.
Next time.
There's our segue.
See you then.
Bye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.